from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message, title of our message on this Good Friday is, You Are Barabbas. Based on the gospel reading from St. Mark, permit me to read those verses to you. Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for them one prisoner whom they requested. And the man Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder during the insurrection. And Pilate said to them, Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he was aware that the chief priests had delivered Jesus up to him because of their envy. But the chief priests stirred up the multitude to ask him to release Barabbas instead. Pilate asked them, What shall I do then with him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they shouted, Crucify him! And wishing to satisfy the multitude, Pilate released Barabbas. And after having Jesus scourged with a whip, he delivered him up to be crucified. You are Barabbas. Barabbas, think of that name. Can you imagine what Barabbas must have felt like that Friday morning in Jerusalem? Hey, I'm a convicted and condemned murderer. And I'm set free. And this poor guy, Jesus, whom I've never met before, this poor guy, standing with me in front of the bloodthirsty crowd, he ends up taking my place. Talk about a guy being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But hey, I'm free, and I'm out of here. Thanks, Jesus. Barabbas, who was he? And what had he done? St. Mark tells us in the gospel reading that Barabbas was a murderer and an insurrectionist. What does that mean? There are two theories. Theory number one, he was a zealot, a Jewish freedom fighter, one involved in guerrilla warfare, striving to rid Jerusalem of the hated Roman military occupation force. The theory was he was involved in a political insurrection, and his murder was likely either of a Roman soldier or a Roman official. Now, though this is a common interpretation of Barabbas' crime, some suggest it does not fit the action of Pontius Pilate when he set Barabbas free. You see, if Pilate was insecure, and he had every reason to be insecure, if Pilate were insecure about his political career as an acting Roman governor in a hostile land called Judea, why would he offer to let Barabbas go free? If Barabbas were a zealot, he would have been the enemy of Rome. And if word got back to Caesar that an enemy of Rome, one who had murdered one of his officials or soldiers, was set free, and Pilate could have kissed his political life, if not his own life, goodbye. And this brings us to theory number two. Others think that Barabbas was an insurrectionist, but not against the Romans, but against the Jewish hierarchy. Plundering the wagons that were filled with money and tithes that have made their way to Jerusalem to give to the high priests. The murder then that he could have committed, that he did commit, could have been of the temple guards to rob the wagons of the monies, kill the temple guards, and make out with the proceeds. Barabbas then would have been an enemy not of Rome, but of the Jewish people. Seen in that light, he could have been a useful tool in the hands of the politician Pontius Pilate. Because Pilate, by using Barabbas, could really stick it to the Jewish leaders who had been a thorn in his side ever since he was assigned to that outpost called Judea. So Pilate would make them choose. He would make these religious leaders choose between a murderer who robbed their temple and this Jesus who preached against their self-righteousness. Remember that Mark said in our text today, verse 10, "For Pilate was aware that the chief priests had delivered Jesus up to him because of envy." Now you recall Pilate's earlier question to Jesus in Mark 15 was a political question. Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews? Note their Jewish religious leaders never asked this political question. They asked religious questions. Did you say, Jesus, that you are the Son of God? They saw Jesus as a blasphemer, one who claimed to be equal with God, one who was worthy of death. But Pilate saw Jesus in a political light. And Pilate saw he could also use Jesus as another way to irritate these Jewish religious leaders that had caused him so much trouble by putting words in their mouths that they never said, and by asking them a taunting question that would really get at them when he said this: "What shall I do to him whom you call the King of the Jews?" We can see them just bristling. "We never called him that." Well, you know the choice they made. "Give us Barabbas." Barabbas is set free, and Jesus is crucified. One who speaks God's truth in public society is more hated than a known criminal. Listen to that statement again. One who speaks God's truth in public society is more hated than a known criminal. But that could never be the case today. Oh, no. Not in our country. Everyone loves those who speaks God's truth in public. Right. Jesus is sent to be crucified. And these citizens knew crucifixion. They knew it was Rome's worst way of execution. History tells us that the former governor of Judea, before Pontius Pilate, a man named Valerius Gratus, just had 200 people at the same time publicly crucified in Jerusalem to make a point. And now Barabbas, the murderer, Barabbas, the insurrectionist, is set free. He's acquitted, as if he'd never committed a crime. But we know that he did. The Gospels don't cover this up. He is set free, and Jesus is put to death. And we may cry out, "It's not fair." Don't you agree? It's not fair. But when we realize that, we're now ready to hear the good news for us. In this event with Barabbas, we see a flesh and blood example of what theologians have called for centuries the great exchange. Jesus' obedience is exchanged for our rebellion. Jesus' life is exchanged for our death. Jesus' sinlessness is exchanged for our sin. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5. "For while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, you are Barabbas. I am Barabbas. We are murderers. We are insurrectionists. We have broken every commandment of God, and the scripture is clear: the wages of sin is death. But Jesus has taken our place. We are set free. We are acquitted. Jesus died in our place. The great exchange has taken place. It's not fair. It's God's mercy for you and for me. What happened to Barabbas? Well, the Bible does not give us the end of the story for many characters in the scriptures, including Barabbas. We don't know Barabbas' future after this event, but we do know our future. Martin Luther tells us in his words in the Catechism, his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which talks about the person and work of Jesus. And just after Luther comments on the great exchange, that is, when Jesus took our place, listen to what Luther says is now our future. I quote, "Jesus did this so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in righteousness, innocence, blessedness, even as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." Barabbas, you are set free. Jesus has taken your place. In the name of Jesus, amen. We were